On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Yeah. Hold on tight. Yeah. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
You know, you always interrupt me when I start the show.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Whatever Show. Starring whoever we can find to do this. Oh, hello. Hello to you. Hello to you. I take my hat off to you because I do. You know, when you walk inside a building, you're supposed to take your hat off? I'm serious. I don't understand it. I don't understand. That was it. There's a lot of things I don't understand. But when that came up and someone said, hey, you got to take your hat off, you're inside, I said, well, that's it. I'm cashing out. All right. Now you're totally blowing my mind with this pettiness. How are you? Good to be with you. Speaking of pettiness, here we are. Just you, me, and whatever else may be around. Do you talk to plants? Neither do I. Anyway, how are you? Hello. 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 Friend of mine, had conversation with him yesterday. He's been in radio for a long time. I've been in radio for a long time. We've both been in radio for a long time. And he said to me something that shook my world. It shook my world, man. He said to me, Ron. He said, Ron, he says, I'm sick of these winters in New England. And I said, so am I. He said, yeah, but I'm going to do something about it. I said, what are you going to do? He says, I'm going to pack my bags and I'm going to move to Florida. My first reaction was, is Florida the only place to go when you pack your bags? I mean, can this penis-shaped peninsula take any more people? Shouldn't there be like a large sign when you enter Florida saying, we've got enough old folks here, go somewhere else, populate Louisiana or something, or what's so wrong with South Carolina, got Myrtle Beach, what's your problem? But Florida's full. We've already got people that can't drive. We've already got people whose head can't reach the dashboard. We don't need any more of you. Everybody in Florida, on the east coast of Florida, once lived in New England. Everybody. New York, New Jersey, Boston, Connecticut. They all just go right to, it's, there should be like a direct elevator. You know, like, where are you going? Florida, of course. You know, there should be like 25 direct flights a day. And I think there are. Without exaggerating, I think there are already. And that's just out of Boston. So, yeah, it's pretty bad, man. Someday that whole state is just going to sink into the ocean out of the weight of all these seniors. I'm serious, man. I don't get it. And Jeb Bush is the governor. You guys are fucked down there. You really are. I don't understand what's wrong with you. It's like as soon as you go south of the Mason-Dixon line, you turn into like weird people or something. You lose all your virginity or something. I don't know if that's the word for it. Intelligence, virginity, what's the, how the hell's the difference? It's the same thing. It's you're losing something that was near and dear to you, and now it's gone. You can't have it back. And the only two things are intelligence and virginity. Beyond that, like, what do you have to hold anymore? Nothing. Nothing. Florida. Florida, man. Whoa. What a humid, humid place. It's just awful. The only two places to retire and spend your later years are either Florida or Arizona, which are dueling opposites. Arizona, absolutely no moisture whatsoever in the air. So totally dry, it's unbelievable. It's like 300 degrees out. You must be like sizzling. Yeah, but it's a dry heat. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it was a dry heat. Well, you didn't say that. If I knew it was a dry heat, I would move there in a minute. I know, like 400 degrees. Yeah, dry heat. Yeah, that's comfortable. That's comfortable. You're right. Sorry. Dry heat. You did say dry heat. Okay, then that's fine. Dry heat. You don't feel dry heat at all. There's no way to feel dry heat. I mean, you can stick your head in an oven, but if it's dry, everything's going to be fine. You won't burn. You won't burn. You won't burn at all. And then there's Florida, where everything is humid, where every day at 3 o'clock it rains. I mean, you can set your watch by it. It's going to be a beautiful day, and it's, oh, here comes 3 o'clock, and it rains, and it's humid like for the next 6 hours, and everything's sticking to your face, and it's just a very uncomfortable state to live in. Direct opposite, humid one state, too dry in the other one. Can't win, can't win. What's in between? Tornado Alley. Okay, all right, that's not going to work. That's not going to work either. Yeah, maybe New England is the only place to be. Maybe if you do become a senior, which you all will when you become old, maybe it's good to be preserved in ice. I mean, maybe that's not a bad idea. Maybe you'll live longer if you're preserved for 6 months out of the year. I can't do Florida. I don't like alligators. I think I call them needle nose, and they get pissed at me, and they attack me, and they take my feet off. So I don't like alligators. They're low to the ground. I can't see them coming. They're scaly. I mean, like, hello, use some moisturizing cream. And the people down there are like, they're kind of rednecky, but not. It's like the West Coast of Florida, the West Coast, you know, where the Gulf is, where they play golf. Redneck, boats with big fans on them, Everglades, shoot 'em up, trailer parks, a whole bit. And then the East Coast, people from New York coming out from Florida for Orlando or something, or Daytona Beach or Miami. Meet a honey. It's just like two different worlds down there in that skinny penis island. They should change the name of Florida to Penis Island. I really think that I think every state should go by the shape of it. Rhode Island should be small people land, you know, like Rhode Island should actually have a sign saying we've reached quota of people. There's like no more room for you. We're only like, I think like it's like 40 miles from the Connecticut border to the Massachusetts border. And that's if you kind of bend it, you know, I don't think it, like across, it's more than like 2 miles or something. It's like a very small state, very, very tiny. And you can't be any taller than 5'2" to live in Rhode Island because there's just no room. There's just no room for you. There's a height requirement too. It's like a Disney ride. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. So Rhode Island, what do they call it? The Ocean State or something like that? I don't get it. Because there's not much really ocean involved. There's more ocean in other states. I mean, Rhode Island has a coastline of about 6 feet, I think. Is it 6 feet? I think it's, I'm exaggerating. It's like 8 feet. You know what I'm saying. New Jersey looks like a profile of Dolly Madison. It does, doesn't it? New Jersey looks like the bust of something, you know, like someone from the colonial days, like George Washington, profile bust. That's what New Jersey looks like. You don't believe me? Take a look, man. Take a look. I'm serious, man. Massachusetts looks like if you have a mud room, which is like when you come into your house in some houses and you hang up your coat on a hook. That's what Massachusetts looks like to me. It's true. The eastern part of it with the Cape looks like the hook that you hang your coat or your hat on. So Massachusetts to me just looks like it's. I think the motto should be a state to hang your hat on. I really think it should be, because that's what a freaking looks like. Maine is just like someone was painting, and the paint fell on the table, and just did a big splat. That's what Maine is to me. Maine is too large. Maine is like huge. I guess it's to house all the black flies and mosquitoes, but Maine's got like 6 people living in it with a square footage the size of Russia. I mean, it's just absurd. It's a waste of space. But then again, who would want to live up there? You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you do on the weekends? Count the rings on the tree to see how old it is? I think that's all there is to do. there isn't much stuff going on up there. At least in Vermont, you can like sell your syrup. You know, I don't know what you do in Vermont either. I mean, in Vermont, you have to pretty much just say to yourself, my only purpose in life is going to sell the art that no one will buy and tap into trees and get some syrup. Other than that, there's really not much to do in Vermont. They have some cities, but they're facades because nothing really happens in them. And that's Vermont, you know. Vermont isn't shaped like anything. It's just sandwiched in between a couple of places, and there's really no big deal about it. Texas, big fucking state. Everything there is just huge, and I don't even know what it looks like. It just looks like stuff has broken off of the sides of something. That's all it looks like. It's just a big, conglomerate of shit, and that's what that looks like. California looks like backwards. It would fit into Florida. It looks like Chile. California is like just really too long. You know what I'm saying? It's just it's too long. You know. It's too long. It's not right. It's wrong. Hawaii? Who cares? Who cares? Alaska? Give me a break, man. Just cut that sucker off. Whose idea was it to purchase Alaska? Was it on sale? Did they have a long receipt from CVS? 25% off all stuff all the way up there near Canada? I mean, like, what was that about? Why would we buy Alaska? Save your money, man. Go to some other place. Go to Kohl's. Buy a couple of winter coats. Don't buy Alaska. Seriously, what are you going to do? How are you going to get there? Wait, take a footbridge over Canada? Can't even get there. There's no point. Look at the people that you may know in Alaska. Nobody. Sarah Palin. Argument finished. She can see Russia from her window. That woman must have some incredible eyesight. And then there's Hawaii, where I think people just stand there and fuck around. I mean, there's really nothing. They just say aloha. People in Hawaii who live there, they stand at the airport, and when the planes land and people get off, they say aloha. And that's their entire purpose there. They really don't do anything else except for work in restaurants and hotels. And I guess landscaping for golf courses. There's really nothing else to do there, I guess. A custodial staff for the volcanoes. I mean, I really don't know what you would really do there. Everything has to be flown in. Oh my God, my ears are itching. Do you have a cotton swab? Do you have a Q-tip? Don't have any. We'll have to fly some in from California. Well, how much are the Q-tips? They're $65 per Q-tip. Oh, why so expensive? Because I have to fly everything in. Yeah, we don't have anything here. We just fly everything. We fly the people in, as a matter of fact, and then they go, and that's really all we do here. We just fly things around. That's all. And it's beautiful here because there's a lot of ocean. Have you ever noticed how much ocean there is? As a matter of fact, we're fucked. If there's a tsunami, we're kind of done here because ain't got a lot of stuff going on here except for standing at the airport and saying aloha. And we do it well. We do it well. We name all our streets things that people can't pronounce. I wanted to go to the McDonald's in Oahu. Oh, that's on Kamakuluku Street. That's on the corner of Kamakuluku and Fikapapalulu. Fikapalulu runs north, right near Flagabala Shepala Street on Hanakalakakalakakalakakaka Lane. That's where you'll find that. McDonald's. And of course, you're welcome to McDonald's, and they immediately say, aloha, welcome to McDonald's. And like, come on, man. Enough with the aloha. If I hear one more aloha, someone's going to get hurt. Someone's going to be eating alohas. And how many times can I hear the joke about going to Hawaii to get laid, to get a lay? Did you get a lay in Hawaii? Yeah. Her name was Betsy. I mean, seriously, how many times am I going to hear that joke? Oh, God. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's the first portion of our program. Hope you enjoy it.
You're listening to Ron Van Dam on Metro South Podcasting. Oi, he's such a mensch. I mean, a nice mensch, don't get me wrong, but still, really? a mensch.
Hope you're enjoying the program. I seriously do hope that. If you're not, I'll pay you. What a wonderful time to be alive. Yeah, life is so easy now. I can sit on the couch and I even invented a robot that'll actually clean your floors. Does anybody have that thing? I don't even know what it's called. I don't even care. It's that little vacuum thing. It looks like a little flying saucer, and you put it on the floor, and it cleans your whole house by itself. Yeah. It's stupid. I can't imagine it cleans your entire floor. It's got to miss a spot at some point. I don't even know what it's called anymore. Anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, are you looking to improve your home? We're going to talk about the springtime and how it's time to do some home improvements. I got a home improvement guy for you that I recommend greatly.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me, waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me, naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked, I do the work naked, you pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook, where I am naked.
It was unbelievably painful.
Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. How are you doing? Good to be with you. It's called the Roomba. 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 It's a little flying saucer disc about, I guess it's about 2 feet wide or something. And you put some batteries in it, and then you place it on the floor. And this little round device just kind of like goes wherever it wants to go and supposedly picks up the dust and crap off your floor by sucking it into its flying saucer-like shell. And it drives the animals crazy. They have no idea what the hell's going on. That's been around for quite some time, and I find that to be about the only sign of modern technology that I have in my home. I don't even have one of those things. I refuse to pay $400 for a little freaking disc that apparently won't get everything up off my floor. And it reminds me of some kind of dysfunctional entity that just goes bumping into walls. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, it's like, man, it's like a Chinese driver. It's just like banging into things all over. Ron, that wasn't right. That was so wrong. Apologize to the people. Apologize to the people that you are saying that a certain culture doesn't know how to drive. That's really poor. But it's true. Have you ever noticed? No, no, that's not. It's not even funny. Don't even go there. It's not funny. Oh, this is so politically incorrect. It's just so awful. I can't believe I'm even doing this. Bad. Really bad. Hey, I've got a question for you that's been on my mind for like a couple of years now.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
My only question is it time to break out the white pants? I mean, do I have to wait for Memorial Day to do that? Or should I never wear white pants ever? Never, ever wear white pants. I've said this to so many people so many times. If you pee yourself, it's going to be fairly obvious. You can't get away with it by saying, I'm wearing the new white pants with the little yellow design. You can't do that. People are going to know that you peed yourself. Also, when you go to a restaurant, when you eat, when you sit on a chair that's a little bit dirty, your white pants ass is going to look off color. It's going to look a little grayishly black. And everything shows up on your white pants. Everything. It's just like wearing a black shirt and having dandruff. You can't get away with anything. So white pants are not a good idea. And also, a lot of people are a little buxom below the belt, if you know what I mean. A little chunky wonky, a little flatulated around the crotchety area. If you happen to have some weight on you, the white pants are going to kind of accentuate what I would call the larger aspect of your crotch and bum. And I don't know many people walk around saying, you know, I don't look large enough. Perhaps I should wear something that will attract people's eyes to my large fat areas. So white pants, white top, very clean, very pure, very alluring sometimes. White bottoms, cartoon characters, what comes to mind. Just not a real good idea. And I'm saying this only as a public service, that you shouldn't do it. I don't care if it's Labor Day. I don't care if it's July 4th. Don't wear white pants ever. And that's what you should not be wearing.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you
never,
wearing?
Never, never.
What are you wearing today, today?
Oh, no, 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 that's wrong again. Don't do that. No, no. Don't you do that. Stop it, stop it, stop it. Do you know how fattening Chinese food really is? Seriously? Every single time I have Chinese food, which I love to do, I think it's tasty as hell. I put on my white pants and I go get some Chinese food. And every time I eat Chinese food, the next day, if I weigh myself, I weigh myself every day, by the way, because it's a ritual, so I can punish myself on a daily basis. The next day, I've put on like substantial weight because of this damn Chinese food, which is so freaking tasty. I don't know what they put in it. Is it MSG, monosodium glutamate? It's supposed to just make you eat everything on the planet. It's just you sprinkle it on, and if you put MSG on a couch, you'd start eating the cushions. I'm telling you. I don't know what's in this stuff. I have no idea, but it makes you, it's a chemical too, man. You know, like you're putting chemicals in your body to eat more stuff. I don't know. I don't know how you do it, guys. I really don't. I'm telling you. And you deep fry everything. I think you're out to kill us. I think just you're out, your entire culture is out to kill us because of, you know, that profiling thing about the driving. I really think that's it. All right, again, I'm being totally politically incorrect, but every culture has something you can make fun of. And as a comedian, which I'm kind of not and kind of am, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to make fun of yourself, fun of society, the various cultures. You're supposed to laugh at yourself. And I think you can do that yourself by looking in a mirror. But in case that doesn't work for you, that's why there are comedians. Some comedians are very, very harsh. Joan Rivers, rest her soul, very harsh comedian. I mean, she prided herself on having no boundaries. She would insult the hell out of you and then say, you know, we've got to laugh at ourselves. Okay, all right, fine. God rest her soul, but like a little much. Don Rickles, he would insult every single nationality, every single race. He'd go on and on. That was his entire act. And people would laugh at those races and those profilings. And then at the end, he'd say, you know, I love you all. I love you. I kid you. I love you. I want the whole earth to be just one. And he'd walk off and they'd applaud as if all of a sudden he was the man of peace. But for the last 2 hours, he's just ripped everybody apart to shreds based on their skin color, etc. So it's a very interesting business, this comedy thing, where it's almost like you're given a license to kill, as long as at the end you say, nah, but it wasn't loaded. I was just kidding around. You can't do that. It's just a fictitious, weird thing to do. All right, get off the thing. It is spring cleaning time, ladies and gentlemen, and time to improve your house and to eat better and just to do wonderful things. And we're going to do that first. We're going to speak to Leah Ingram. She's been everywhere. All these people have been on like NBC and CNN and Oprah and the Today Show. You know, all this, you know, they do the circuits. And one of the circuits are the Ron Van Dam Show. I mean, you can't reach any plateau of fame without being on this program. I myself have experienced that. I have not reached any plateau of fame. So it works for me as well. Let's speak to Leah Ingram. She's the home improvement. Have you ever used Home Advisor? Yeah, she's part of that deal there. Yeah, I seriously do use them. All right, let's say hello to Leah. Leah Ingram joins us now. She's with Home Advisor, personal finance expert. She's appeared all over the media, and she joins us here today. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Wonderful. Thank you. Well, it is that time of year. Well, in New England, we're not too sure what time of year it is, but it is the springtime, apparently. And that's when you start, you look outside and you go, oh, look at all the stuff I got to do. So, where do you start? What do you do? What do you choose? And that's when we turn to you.
Well, thank you. I am all about saving money. So, you know, people who have had a tough time this winter and maybe they need to repair their roof or their landscaping has just been beaten the heck out of, I can give you some suggestions on how to set your budget and stick to it.
Good, good. So these are things pretty much that should be done as opposed to fanciful changes.
Actually, the top five home improvements that most people do in spring are a roof repair, a kitchen remodel, getting your AC up to snuff, painting the exterior, and landscaping. And actually, according to Home Advisor's survey, two-thirds of Americans are so worried about overpaying for these projects because they have no idea what they cost.
Yeah.
And 50% of them start a home improvement project and then they don't finish it because they were completely blindsided by what the total cost is. So if you have to repair your roof this winter, not replace it, repair after this winter, you know, you may be thinking that's tens of thousands of dollars, but actually in the Boston area, an average roof repair is $700. And the reason I know that is Home Advisor has something called the True Cost Guide, where customers in Boston who have used Home Advisor to find a contractor come back after the fact, they report what they've paid, they write a review of the contractor, and this information is updated daily, so you're getting real information that you can make should you have to make a decision about a home improvement or a repair.
So we should mention that that's what the Home Advisor is about. You have a project in your home and you figure, I can't do this myself. I'm going to make it even worse than it is. I need it done by a professional. So you go to Home Advisor to get a feel for those that are available to do this in your area.
That's correct. And not only is it a project that, like when we refinished our hardwood floors, sure, we probably could have figured out how to do it ourselves, but I convinced my husband, like, one bad move with the sander and forget it. Let's just hire somebody.
Oh, my God.
You know, and that was a project that we planned well in advance. But actually, the very first time I used Home Advisor, the ridge vent had blown off the roof of my house. Now, I didn't even know homes had ridge vents, but it was gone and rain was coming. I called Home Advisor. I went on their website, and they gave me information on contractors. A bunch called me, came out. Mm-hmm. Somebody was there and fixing my roof before nightfall, and the rain came in. And after that, I was hooked.
Because these are people and companies that vie for your business.
Yes. Home Advisor is free for consumers to use. Contractors do pay to be on the website, but you are reading other people's reviews on how those contractors behaved, so it doesn't matter, in my opinion, that they paid to be on the website. You can see how they treated other customers based on that information, plus the True Cost Guide money information. You can make a smart consumer decision.
Yeah. And you can compare prices. But, you know, I'll tell you, you brought up the hardwood floors. I'm having mine done in about a month. I went through Home Advisor, as a matter of fact, and because it scared the hell out of me. I mean, that's like a major thing, you know, that you got to move out almost. And it was a big deal. And they came over, and I got to meet them. And I didn't go for the cheapest one. I went for the one that I thought was the most capable. So you have all different reasons and all different things, but you have the opportunity to get these people in and to make those choices.
Right, and that's so funny that you said that, because I did the exact same thing when we were getting our hardwoods done. I got three bids.
Yep.
I went with the guy who was in the middle, so he was definitely not the cheapest, but he wasn't the most expensive. But also, and this is important consumer advice for anybody you hire, he was able to present to me on paper exactly what he was going to do in what time frame, and I felt like, wow, this guy really knows how to run his business. He's going to be awesome to work with, and he was.
Great. Perfect. Okay, so check around your house and see what things need to be done. You may not have seen the outside of your house for like 6 months. Where do you live, by the way? What part of the country?
I live outside Philadelphia, so we have had our share. So my mother lives in Maine, so, you know, she's more on par with the snow experience that you've had.
Okay. So it is time to get things done, and that's a great way to do it. Okay. So where can we get more information?
I would recommend people go over to homeadvisor.com, and they don't even have to register to look around the site. And if you want to see prices in your area, you put in your Boston zip code, which I still remember from Zoom, 02134, and you'll get information on the True Cost Guide for projects in your area.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean, I have a very strong belief that if you don't think you can do it yourself, or even if you can, don't screw around with it. Get a professional, then you don't have to worry about it. And that's the way I live my life, you know. That's the way I do it. Yeah. Hey.
When it comes to a bag of mulch, I'll do the DIY. But when it comes to refinishing hardwood floors, I'm totally with you, going for the contractor.
You're willing to get mulch on your hands?
Yes.
Holy God. Okay, you're a better person than I am. All right, thank you so much for your time today.
Great, thanks for talking with me. Okay. It was really fun.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Hey, baby, won't you look my way? That's a fun lady. It's a fun lady, that Leah girl. She, wow, man. I am not handy at all. I have hands, but I don't use them except for the obvious. I don't, no. I can change a light bulb. That I'll do. Sometimes. I won't call people in to change a light bulb. I'm not like that. But I'm smart in the way that I can figure things out, but in order to actually do the things that I'm talking about, I have to bring people in. And it's not that I'm privileged or anything. It's just that I don't want to fuck it up. And I don't know. In the front of my house, I have an electrical outlet. in the front of my house, in the wall of the front of my house on the outside. And it's very handy because you can plug in electrical things, lights, things like that. I bought a cover for it, a weather cover, so when it rains and snows, which it never seems to do in New England, you know, that it's got a cover. And I thought, yeah, so I bought this plastic cover at Lowe's or Home Depot. Those are the two places. And I've had it now for 2.5 years. I've not installed it. And it's something that I can do, but I haven't done it. And every year, right now, the outlet is covered with plastic because there is no cover on the outlet. And on the outside of the house, you should have a cover on it. Some moisture doesn't get in, etc. And I've covered it with a one of those plastic bag things, you know, just so the weather doesn't get into the socket, into the plug part there that you plug the thing in. I don't know what you call that. I guess it's the plug part, I guess is what you call it. And for 2.5 years, I've bought this part that all I got to do is get a screwdriver and just screw it on, and I'll have a nice flip top to the outside outlet. But have I done this in 2.5 years? No, I have not. And do I call that laziness? Perhaps. Do I call it the inability to actually screw the cover onto the plate? No, I don't think that's it either. So then, Ron, what is it? Why is that a microcosm of your life? Does it represent your attitude? Does it represent your energy? Your agenda? What does it represent? Does it represent the fact that you always forget to do it, although on a weekly basis you look at it and you say, oh my goodness, I haven't done this yet? I know what's going to happen. Someday, probably within a few weeks when the weather gets really, really nice, I'll stare at that outside outlet with the plastic bag over it, and I'll say to myself, damn it, Van Damme, it's time to screw the outdoor plate on this outdoor plug socket thing. You bought the plate 2 years, 2.5 years ago. It's time to get it done. And I'll grab my screwdriver and I'll say, okay, I'm going to do it. And you know what's going to happen. I won't be able to find the damn plate that I bought 2.5 years ago. You know that's going to happen. And by the way, I did not tell that story for purposes of making you laugh. I told that story because it is just indicative of my life. That's the only reason I would tell you a meaningless story like that.
And that was another funny story from Ron. Wait, that was supposed to be funny? Wow.
Odd thing is that lady is 93 years old who just said that. It's amazing. She sounds so young, doesn't she? You know, nearly a show can go by, and that's not the end of the sentence. Nearly a show can go by when I don't like to talk. Well, I do like to talk about food. Let's start that again. You know, nearly a show goes by where I don't like to talk about food, or where I do like to talk. You know, I love to talk about food. And I'm going to do that again because I just love food. You know how I know I'm getting old? Because around lunchtime, I start obsessing as to what I'm going to have for dinner. And either I am so totally bored, or I'm just like getting to that age where eating is just the biggest delight of my life. I laugh, even though that's rather pathetic. So let's talk about food. Laura joins me. She's with the Cooking Channel on the big television set there, and Food Channel and the Cooking Channel. And let me say hello to her. Laura, get me out of this. Laura Vitale is the host of Simply Laura on the Cooking Channel, and Laura in the Kitchen, all over the place, online, and she's probably in your house right now. I don't even know. Hi, Laura. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Ron. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. Pleasure to speak to you, because this would be the official onslaught of spring whenever we talk to you.
Oh, that's really exciting.
Okay. Sounded good. I thought I'd say it because it sounded good. But I love to eat, and I love to watch cooking programs on television and online. And so I'm excited to talk about you because it's time to change up the way that we cook things seasonally.
Absolutely. You know, spring is in full swing, believe it or not, although today doesn't quite feel like it. But, you know, I actually just recently moved to a new house, and I took the opportunity to really clean out my pantry and just restock my kitchen with my absolute must-have, kind of like spring cleaning for the kitchen. I want my kitchen to run like a well-oiled machine. I want to be able to dish out great recipes whenever my mood strikes, and in order to do that, I like making sure that I'm always ready and stocked up with my basics because that's kind of the starting point, and then you go from there. So since spring is here, I just encourage everyone to get in their kitchen, clean it out, take an inventory of your pantry, throw out what's expired, and just restock it so that you are really ready. And you just feel motivated to get in there and cook when you have it all ready.
That's pretty cool. You're getting a fresh start. Yeah, rearranging things. I like that. So what can I actually do cooking-wise to get that fresh feel?
Well, to inspire and motivate smart choices, the Splenda brand is dishing out ways to reduce added sugar by swapping out full sugar for Splenda sweetener products. And we kind of partnered up together and created a few recipes that I think are just fantastic.
Okay.
And perfect for this time of year. We've got something sweet, something savory, something in between. I've got some beautiful blood orange bars, which are a really great twist in a traditional lemon bar. They've got a great seasonal twist to them, and I am a citrus queen, and I love anything citrus, and these are a little unexpected because of the blood oranges, but they're really phenomenal. We've also got something sweet and spicy with some spicy corn fritters. I've got spiciness from jalapenos and sweetness from the corn. And I also have a really great salad dressing because, you know, salad dressing can either become boring or buying bottle dressing over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. It's like, first of all, it's boring. And second of all, there's just stuff in there you don't want. And making your own is so easy. And I have a really interesting and fun one to share with you. I've got a sweet chia seed dressing that's got a lot of body because chia seeds just give it some really great body without a lot of oil. So you can go ahead and give yourself an extra spoonful of dressing on your salad, because I like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't feel guilty about it. And it's a little sweet, but it's a really great combination with something bitter like endive and radicchio. It's such a fantastic twist on just a regular green salad.
That's a great idea because salads are really good for you. But then you put the dressing on it, and you're putting like corn syrup and high fructose
right.
on it. But when you make your own salad dressing, it's like it's a whole different salad. It becomes exciting for some reason because you did it yourself.
Exactly. And it's also, you know, spring is here, and
yeah.
I know that a lot of little markets are opening up.
Mm.
Fresh produce is becoming more available. And just don't feel like you have to use these specific greens. Be creative. I mean, that's what this new season is all about. Try new things. Get out there. Try some new greens for your salad. Make a new combination you just didn't think of before. You know, plant your own vegetable garden and grow your own greens. Or I've actually started an herb garden. Now, mind you, I only have one herb growing, but that's still something. It's still something. Throw some fresh herbs in your salad. Make it interesting and just use things that, use seasonal things. Keep it simple. Keep it interesting. And I think that's really the key. It's all about balance, isn't it?
So instead of using sugar a lot, you go to the Splenda is what you're saying.
The Splenda no-calorie sweeteners, the Splenda products in general, are a really great way to reduce added sugar in recipes. And did you know, this is a great fact, by the way, did you know that swapping just one cup of sugar with a cup of Splenda no-calorie sweetener granulated can save you more than 600 calories? That's quite insane. I actually didn't really know that until recently. And I don't know about you, but it has been a long winter. And I have certainly eaten my fair share of happiness, if you will, because really food is the only thing keeping me through this cold winter.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I put on like about probably 8 pounds over the winter because I just stayed inside and ate because
exactly.
there was nothing else to do. And now I'm like concerned about getting rid of it by the time I do the barbecuing. So, yeah, I'm
exactly.
conscious of it. Yeah.
So swapping out your, you know, full sugar for a cup of fundamental calories to an granulated is a great way to just tweak a recipe a little bit, and you'll save a lot of calories without really knowing it. That's the best part about it.
Yeah, that's a good thing. And a lot of people should be concerned about having too much sugar, because you get a little bit older and you start getting those sugar concerns, you know, that's not good for people. But you're young. You've got time left.
Well, you know, I think of food the same way I think of life in general. It's all about balance and moderation. It's about finding that key point about, you know, with food and your diet. That's just balance and moderation. Get your greens in and get a little something sweet in. I mean, those blood orange bars are just ridiculously good, so you got to make some. You know, just keep it and take a new exercise class. Get active. Walk around. You know, move your body. I mean, I think that's what spring and the warm months in general are all about.
Yeah, moving your body, you sweat. Eating, you sit back and have a good time. I'd rather eat right than, well, okay, anyway. all right. Laura, how can I get some of these recipes of which you speak?
There are a ton more recipes, including these ones, on sweetswaps.com, so I'm sure you'll find something there that speaks to you.
Sweetswaps.com. Cool. Hey, Laura, thanks for spending time with us this morning. Do appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Good talking to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Laura. And thank you to Leah Ingram as well for joining me today. And thank you for being a part of my life, as I hope I am a part of yours. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.